Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Tell your friends to subscribe and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. If you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer in the show, make sure you email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, the Bulls did it. They made the playoffs.
Just the exact manner everyone expected them to get there in two. You know, going 4-0 against those defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers, struggling with lesser, inferior competition all year. In that vein, they did take care of business on the regular season's final night, with a rout of the Brooklyn Nets, 112-73. The Nets played without leading scorers Brooke Lopez, Jeremy Lin, also without key rotation member Trevor Booker. So the Nets team that had beat the Bulls on Saturday didn't look anything like this. The game didn't look anything like Saturday either, because the lineups were absolutely whack for the Nets, basically.
That was one of the most... I mean, there were some pretty bad games this year. I think that was the most unwatchable game of the year.
It was pretty bad, because there was no flow whatsoever. I mean, there were three or four air balls within the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game combined between the two teams.
The Nets just, you know, we can talk about Zip Sanity in a second, but the Nets shot 3 of 33... from three-point range tonight.
That's 9.1%.
9.1%. The Bulls shot 14 of 30 from three-point range. For once, the Bulls were the better three-point shooting team in a matchup, which is...
They've been doing that lately, though. Ever since Rajon Rondo got reinserted into the starting lineup as point guard, I think that was, what, March 13th after their terrible game at Boston on March 12th or so. Like, they've been better at three-pointers because he's been good at finding the open shooters, Nico in particular. This night continued at your boy Paul Zipser in a big way. 5 threes, career high 21 points. Stock was rising.
Stock is going up heading into the playoffs.
Zipsanity stock, I think the it's ZIP, right? Is
yep.
The denotation.
ZIPS.
Oh, okay. Zips. Gotcha. But yeah, Paul Zipser was.
No, because that's actually like not vowels in the stock. ZPSR.
Whatever you want it to be, it can be, because you are the leader of that ship.
I own all the shares. I own every share.
You own every share of Zip Sanity.
I think Gar Foreman owns some of the shares, and I own some of the shares.
He actually sold it out to you in the middle of the season, because maybe internally he actually was giving up hope, but you weren't. But yes, Paul Zipser played a brilliant basketball game. Jimmy Butler has been brilliant all year, and 25 points, Jimmy just doing what you would expect. I don't think there's anything to break down.
Absolutely not.
Here in this game.
I want to forget this game, this actual... I mean, like, obviously it happened and there's playoff implications. This actual game I never want to think about again.
Yeah, there's a couple points here I want to address. One is the Nets resting their guys, so I want to know what your opinion was. To set it up, the Nets were 20-61 entering this game. They long ago clinched the worst record in the NBA for the most lottery ping pong balls to have the best chance at the top pick that they're going to have to give to the Celtics anyway. So they have the number one pick in the second round locked up, I think, if I'm doing my math right. But nothing at stake by way of the draft on a pick they don't own. And they sat a healthy Lopez, a healthy Lin, and a healthy Booker in a game that carried huge significance for the Bulls and Miami Heat, who the Bulls finished the season tied with 41-41, but go to the playoffs based on the 2-1 advantage in the season series. So your opinion, Sean, on the Nets punting this game?
I mean, what does it really matter to them one way or the other if they want to do it? I mean, we talked to Kenny Atkinson, the Nets coach, about it beforehand, and he said, and I honestly, it seems like a fine explanation. He said he wants to make sure guys are healthy going into the offseason. I don't really buy the thing about wanting to get a look at some of their young guys, because, like, what is this one game that's basically the whole game is garbage time really going to tell you? But, you know, you have to keep in mind Jeremy Lin had some injuries this year. They want to make sure he's healthy because he was their big free agent signing this past summer. Brook Lopez has had a history of foot problems, and he's a guy that's always seemingly on the trade block. They don't want him to get injured in a meaningless game, and then if they decide to trade him going forward, they can't get as much for him because he's hurt. I really am not losing sleep over the Nets resting all their guys in this game the way that a lot of people are. And they certainly weren't the only team that's doing it. The Heat, the other relevant games to this playoff race, the Celtics were playing a Bucks team that was resting all their guys. The Raptors were playing a Cavs team that was resting all their guys. The Heat were playing a Wizards team that was resting all their guys. The Pacers were playing a Hawks team that was resting all their guys. It's just kind of around the league.
Complete embarrassment. Yeah. One of the most biggest abominations I've seen in NBA history, Sean, in that sense of competitive integrity, I thought was embarrassing. I know you pointed out everyone's resting. I get that. But those teams who were resting guys were doing it for the goal of the postseason and putting themselves in the best position to reach the NBA Finals. The Wizards doing so. The Cavs doing so, and I think it's really weird, and I think it's kind of dumb that the Cavs basically didn't play LeBron, the last two games, I think, of the season, when the one seed and home court advantage was still in sight, because they just needed, I don't know, if they won both of them, I know they would have got, I forget the exact final standings at this point. I thought that was weird, but at least they still reserved the right to say rest was more important for the championship goal over home court advantage. I didn't like, but they have 5 months to rest Lopez. Lin, I was in the locker room. We were asking them questions. And both said they absolutely understood it's the organization's wish, but they also understood as competitors why Miami might be upset. But they didn't have a game on Tuesday night. Lin said he was fully healthy. Lopez said he had no health problems. I just think you owe it to the greater good of the league to trot them out there and make it a more competitive game. And I know people will be like, oh, they would have done this in the 80s and 90s, whatever. I don't care about the past. I don't care about the good old days. I just care that it's an embarrassment right now. Again, this is separate in my mind from the issue of the Cavs, Spurs, Warriors resting guys, even in big national TV games in the regular season. I actually am less offended by that than I am this. Because this, I mean, the Bulls basically had to play 81 games to reach the playoffs, and the Heat needed to play 82 to reach the playoffs. Like, that Nets team, Sean, how bad were they? They were atrocious. Justin Hamilton is one of the worst basketball players I've seen in a long time. The Nets made 6 to 8 of the stupidest passes I'd seen in the first quarter in weeks and weeks. Like, trot out some good basketball players.
Shout out to Archie Goodwin leading the Nets with 20 points off the bench. Shout out to KJ McDaniels, 15
You're
points
telling
off the bench.
Me the future of Nets basketball and these young guys and these evaluations is hinging on one game against the Bulls team that's been inconsistent all year and puts forth half of an effort every other night, basically? That's an absolute BS explanation.
Shout out to Randy Foy, still in the league, not getting the veteran DNP rest like Trevor Booker did.
Well, at least Randy Foy's going out there and playing and putting in like an honest effort.
Shot 1 for 10 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3.
I just, at some point, I'm separating, in my mind, it's two things. There's a competitive integrity issue here, and there's a rest issue about doing what's best for your organization. And I think competitive integrity for others, keeping others in mind, I would have been upset if the Bulls were playing the Cavs tonight and the Cavs rested everyone, but I would have understood it more for the Cavs because, again, that tangible goal is right there. You know what I'm saying? But this is just, I mean, the Nets are better served anyway. Like, just playing these guys. You're telling me that, like, these young guys whose no names we don't know, like, if Brook Lopez is going to be on your team next year, don't these young guys need, couldn't they gain more by having another game of playing with him and learning? I don't care if it's just some eye contact on one backdoor cut or something. Like, something is more useful than whatever this garbage was that the Nets trotted out. And I'm worked up, and, like, Sam Smith, I know we've had him, veteran Hall of Fame writer, had him on our podcast earlier this year to talk about Jerry Krause and Bulls reflections. He was great. But, like, this is something that we know offends him and his sensibilities because he went hard at Ty Lue in the regular season.
No, or, excuse
preseason.
Me,
preseason. Preseason. When the Cavs didn't even bring, like, their top seven to Chicago. And I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit. I'm like, well, I don't really care. But this is absolutely...
This is a regular season game. People paid money to go watch this game. And it is not the same, like, oh, well, people paid money because this is the one chance they get to see LeBron. Nobody was paying money to see any of these individual guys on the Nets. But the product that they put out there, like, that was one of the... I've been covering the league for several years. That was one of the most unwatchable games I've ever covered.
Nets deserve no karma next year. None. They deserve for teams to... The next time the Nets have a chance to make the playoffs...
In, like, 2020,
and they're in Game 82, I hope the team rests all their players against them, or their opponent, or I should say the opponent that the Nets need to lose. Whatever. But I can guarantee you in the playoffs, the Bulls and Celtics will be trotting everybody out there. And if you want playoff tickets to Bulls games, whether they're in Boston, in Chicago, if you're the road-tripping variety, SeatGeek's the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for the football, basketball, baseball, any sporting events you want to see up and close and in person this season, concerts too. There's nothing like being in the stadium arena for the biggest plays and events of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. Anywhere, anytime, with just a few taps, you can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game of the season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And with SeatGeek, you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket is giving a great score based on value. You immediately see underpriced seats to fit your budget with the best deals. Every ticket is 100% guaranteed, so shop with confidence on SeatGeek. Here's what we need Locked On Bulls listeners to do. Download the SeatGeek app, click add a promo code, enter promo code LOBULLS. SeatGeek will then send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Get the app, enter promo code LOBULLS today. Sean, the other takeaway I had from this game and kind of what Fred Hoiberg said post-game, that does relate basketball-wise a little bit. It looks like he settled on a rotation, nine-man rotation for the playoffs. Jaren Grant played over Michael Carter-Williams as the backup point guard.
Which is the correct decision.
I would agree with that. Rondo came back after having a wrist injury, immediately reinserted into the starting lineup.
He looked fine.
Paul Zipser, as we said, had a career night, so he's kind of the second wing off the bench, or the first wing but second backcourt guy off the bench. And then Chris Felicio was playing over Joffrey Laverne tonight, and Bobby Portis is in that big-man rotation, too. Nine-man rotation, 82 games in the season. Do you think Hoiberg has that figured out? What do you think of it heading into the playoffs?
I have no arguments with what his rotation is, just based on who should be in there, who has given them the most. I think playing Felicio ahead of Laverne, based on what they've both shown this season, respectively, is the right decision. I definitely, we've been driving this train for a while, I definitely think that Jaren Grant is better than Michael Carter-Williams, and he's more deserving of those backup minutes. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point those other guys get in there. You know, Denzel Valentine, he had that stretch where he looked pretty good, and then he hasn't played much the last week or so. But, you know, if they really need some point, they might, like, throw him in there to have him hit some shots. They might throw, you know, Joffrey Laverne in there because he can hit an outside shot as a big man. They might decide they like Michael Carter-Williams' defense, even though I think that's overrated.
Yeah, I think and Michael Carter-Williams' defense could be an entire non-factor, non-entity in the postseason because he struggled with diminutive small point guards, like the real quick guys are the guys he struggles with. Isaiah Thomas, like, that's what he is, and he was so good at it that he was on the fringe of the MVP conversation for a time and, what, led the NBA in fourth quarter scoring, stuff like that. Like, he's brilliant. He's going to make an all-NBA team. So I don't see a lot of use in the Bulls-Celtics series whatsoever for Michael Carter-Williams whatsoever at all right now. We'll get into it more with series previews coming here later in the week. But, I mean, 82 games, just about the right. I'm too long, I think, for the players, for a lot of fans, but just right for Fred Hoiberg to figure out his rotation, I guess. Fair to say?
Yeah, I think everybody knows their roles now. Throughout the season, guys talked about how they didn't know their roles. I think they know them now.
Yeah.
The starting lineup's going to be the three alphas, Lopez and Mirotic, and then those four guys off the bench.
Denzel, I mean, it doesn't shock me, and that he fell out of the rotation a little bit. I think he does bring something, and that's the swagger to hit some big threes.
Mm-hmm.
And that also comes with wayward heat checks at times that make you scratch your head. But he has hit some really big shots in the fourth quarter this year, so I think you mentioned, and I would probably agree that I wouldn't be surprised to find him in maybe not big moment game on the line, but moments that matter in the third or fourth quarter of a game in the postseason, certainly in that regard. But Paul Zipser, I mean, if he's going to shoot like that, he needs to play because he's a much better defender, and he's a pretty smart basketball player in all regards, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, he does, and I, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I think they like what he brings defensively in terms of just his ability to stay in front of guys, and yeah, if he can have another couple of games in the playoffs where he shoots like he did tonight, I think that could help him. We're like I said, we're going to get into
the real
specifics of the series later on this week. I'm going to have a preview episode also with Jay King of Mass Live, who's a co-host of Locked On Celtic, who's been on this show before. We're going to do that tomorrow. But this was a season.
It was, Sean.
This was a season.
I was writing before we came in here and clicked record, and as I was, I walked over to Sean and just had to make sure to go over all the unpredictable events of the season, make sure I didn't leave out too many. And you point out, I mean, there was the Taj trade. There was obviously the Instagram rebuke by Rajon Rondo after Wade and Butler torched their teammates is what's going to get headlines. But there was always a mini drama between the rotations, Rondo being benched, Rondo throwing shade at Hoiberg on at least, what, three or four
separate
occasions. There were just hilarious one-off quotes that made you scratch your head. There was Jimmy Butler at one point. I didn't even think I wrote this. We didn't say it. It just coming to my head now. But Jimmy Butler telling Fred Hoiberg, no, we're not calling a timeout.
That's right.
Completely forgot about that. There was a game earlier this year. Jimmy Butler basically checked himself out of the game and sat on the bench when he wasn't in foul trouble, and the Bulls had four guys on the court, and Hoiberg didn't realize that Butler had checked himself out of the game. There was so much. I mean, there was obviously rumor swirling all the time. But through this all, like...
Oh, you forgot.
Bulls,
you forgot.
Oh, I go.
Derrick Rose jersey number controversies twice in 4 months.
Separate.
Two different players. Tim Carter Williams and then Anthony Morrow.
And giving it reversing course and giving the number back up because of you guys, the social media blowback, and all these people that love Locked On Bulls and are locked on every topic. The people responded. And I know not all of you. I know some of you wanted them to just wear number one and move on from the Derrick Rose era. But at the same time, I know a lot of people have passionate feelings about that as well. Like, you shake your head at the season, and I said 40 and 42 before the season, missing games, the playoffs by one game. I was really close.
You were close.
If they'd had one more choke job of some sort, or if Dwight Howard finishes an alley-oop dunk, I think, against the Hawks.
Or if the Nets had decided to play their entire team.
I might have been right on. I think, did you say 42 and 40?
I said 42 and 40. So
and in the playoffs. So you win. You win this.
I win.
Because they made the playoffs.
I win, but we're going to, this is a spoiler, we're going to revisit the bold predictions episode at some point in the future, but one of your bold predictions came true today.
Yes. Fred Hoiberg pregame was asked. He wasn't really asked.
Guys.
He was kind of told. The guy says, I have you guys down. You strike me as a team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs as a statement. And then there was some sort of question that I don't know. It didn't matter after that. I was laughing so hard. It might have been in the camera shot, too. I don't know. But I was laughing so hard at that point because that was almost word for word what I predicted in the preseason, that people were going to say the Bulls are the team no one wants to play. And that was pregame. This podcast is being taped around midnight, just getting fired up. You know, I think the hot take machine will churn on Thursday and Friday, and you'll hear that a few more times. The Bulls are a team no one wants to play. And they'll say the Celtics don't want to maybe play them because there was 2-2 in the season series. And the Bulls, they played the Celtics hard three times, and the fourth time was one of the most embarrassing losses of the year when they had that abysmal first quarter at
they
Boston.
They scored 26 points. They scored
nine
points in the first quarter, 26 in the first
half.
There's
an abysmal first half. So, yeah, we'll get into that a little more, but congratulations, Sean, on correctly basically projecting exactly what the Bulls were going to do this year. I don't feel I was too far off, but they made the playoffs, and that's the most important part of your prediction, I think. That's the most important part of what the Bulls wanted to do. More than anything, they wanted to be in the playoffs, you know? I go back to Dwayne Wade was asked about expectations when he had his official signing press conference last July, and he didn't set any per se. You know what I mean? Yeah. He said there's, what did he say, basically a lot to learn or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think internally they always had that. I know they wanted, no doubt they wanted to make the playoffs. But, I mean, that's a big 182. You trade Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott to your top seven players. And
for three guys who aren't even in the rotation.
Yeah, like,
we named that playoff rotation. None of the three guys they got back in that trade are even in the rotation.
That's waving, not a white flag. What's the flag before the, I don't know. Like,
is it's like an off-white flag.
Yeah, or is it like a green flag? And I haven't watched NASCAR since, like, seventh grade, but I think they wave, like, I don't know. Maybe that is a white one, but whatever. Green one they wave, too. The Bulls weren't yet at the checkered flag finish line at the time of that trade, but you could see the writing on the wall of they traded Taj. This isn't a playoff push, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then to still do it, I think they deserve a lot of credit for how they finished the season. A lot of guys, Rajon Rondo deserves an outrageous amount of credit for how he handled himself this year. Because he could have pouted. He could have quit.
Asked for a buyout.
Yeah, I wrote a primer, I think, a couple weeks before the trade deadline that said, here's what the Bulls need to do, take steps the rest of the season. And one of the steps was part ways with Rajon Rondo and turn the playing time over to Jaren Grant.
The night that they benched Rondo against Milwaukee on New Year's Eve, I went home from the arena and I basically pre-wrote like the outline of a Bulls waive Rajon Rondo and agree to a buyout.
His Bulls career obituary.
Right, no, I wrote the story just pending, you know, I was going to talk to some people in the organization, try to get when they did it. Like, I wrote, like, the outline of, like, that story. That story never made it past drafts.
Yeah.
And Rajon Rondo is basically, I mean, outside of Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo is the Bulls' MVP. Outside of Jimmy Butler.
Robin Lopez?
Robin Lopez,
like, played 81 games. He only missed one because he beat someone up.
By the way, I have an incredible fact about Robin Lopez that I've learned this week.
You gonna drop it on this podcast or tease it for the next?
I'm gonna.
One, so they
gotta I'm not gonna. I'm actually gonna do neither. I'm gonna tease it for my Friday insider call.
Okay, and then we'll tease it and drop it on Locked On Bulls too.
It's not a huge thing. Friday. It's just something that's funny and great. You know.
King of Nuggets over here, Sean Hyken. But yeah, like Rondo deserves. He deserves credit because, I mean, I was wrong in writing that, like, that's what they should do because they're not in the playoffs if they do that. They're not in the playoffs if Nico doesn't heat up in March. And they're not anywhere. They're not anywhere this season if Jimmy Butler isn't a top 10 NBA player. You know what I mean?
No.
So he deserves a lot of credit, too, for bringing it pretty much every night. I mean, Jimmy was pretty darn good about 80 out of 82 times, probably. He had, a couple duds, maybe. That was it. And that was remarkable. And I thought Jimmy did a really good job later in the season, too, when Dwayne Wade was out, of picking his spots. I think that's maybe more than anything what Jimmy's gotten better at this year is we talk a lot about the locker room leadership
right.
and ascending to that throne that he kind of just took on his own merit or whatever, and it wasn't a natural ascension last year and this year. But I think the way he's played and gotten guys more involved early, I mean, they go to Robin Lopez a lot early in games, but there's other guys, you know, that may take more shots early in games. It's not uncommon at times to see Jimmy have like 4 points after the first quarter and then heat it up a little bit more. I mean, he does a lot of scoring at all.
Right, because he
wants. But I just felt he made strides there.
Right, he wanted to try to get people involved. He made a concerted effort because, you know, you could have seen it go the other way. Dwayne Wade goes out. He's like, okay, I have to score 50 points every game now and just, you know, take every single shot and just ISO all the time. You know, you notice, you know, once Jimmy starts kind of running the de facto running the offense because you. Wasn't Michael Carter-Williams running the offense for a while. It wasn't, you know, Jaren. And then, you know, once they put Rondo in the lineup, he was running it. But, like, without Wade, it's like, okay, now Nico is heating up. You know, Denzel Valentine had a couple of good games in there. Paul Zipser had a couple of good games in there. Like, guys were getting confidence, and they think they were feeding off of Jimmy and also, to an extent, Rondo.
Certainly. So, all that adds up to a 41-41 Bulls record and date with the top-seeded Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. Game one is Sunday night in Boston at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. We will have a playoff preview for you over the next couple days, so please do keep it locked on Bulls. You can follow Sean on Twitter at Hyken, myself at Cody Westerlund. Locked on Bulls is on Twitter and Facebook by its name, so please search there if that's how you like to navigate to the podcast. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Most of all, as always, Tell your friends about us, and please subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out Locked On Celtics. For the Celtics perspective on this series, I'm going to do a crossover podcast with Jay King tomorrow, which is Thursday. And we will be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.